There's rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
For nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order.
Attention. Attention.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going
to
call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch, Jones, Dutch, Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Yes. I'm doing a little typing here. You folks will have to wait. I'm typing a message here. It's a very important message, and I can't be disturbed. Hello, I'm Dutch Jones. It is Friday, the 23rd of July. Am I correct with that timekeeper, Lou? 2010. Did I get the year right? I've been asleep for a while. I took a nap this afternoon. I possibly could be a little. Turn up my headphones a little bit there. Turn up my headphones. Oh, there you go. I can hear myself. Welcome to the Dutch Jones radio program. We come to you Monday through Friday via you broadcast over DutchJones.tk and many other outlets. I got a great email today from The Welder. That sounds ominous. You know, I've never thought of myself as using, you know, if you were a superhero, I'm The Welder. And he says he hears us on CB Channel 2 in New York. I won't give out the county because I don't want to give the FCC any specifics. New York's a big state. But that's pretty cool that you pick us up on CB Channel 2. Channel 2, the big deuce. Those of you that are listening to my show on that frequency, I can't remember, it's 27 dot, like, what is this? I don't even know. I gotta look it up. I used to have all the CB channels memorized when I was like 16, the actual frequency, because I had a band spread radio that I could tune it in or transmit and go in between the channels. I thought I was all that in a bag of radio parts, but don't have that anymore. I'm actually trying to get another one to do that here soon. But welcome to the show. It is Friday. I don't have anything special for Friday. I'm not like Rush Limbaugh. It's not, you know, open line Friday because you guys never call anyway. But if you plan to, and we did test the phone, those of you that were listening earlier, the phone worked. And the phone worked good. I called in myself. I could do it right now again to do the loop. But the phone number, get your crayons out. Ready? 559. Yeah, get the warning up, Lou. 561-8225. 561-8225. And the area code is 559. And that gets you right to the center of California. Warning, before you continue, we need to be clear about something. If you have issues with using lethal force on someone who is trying to murder, beat, or rape either you or your loved ones, then this show is not for you, and we recommend you begin searching for a victim support group and start... Wow, I just banged my hand on the table. You can start collecting your pamphlets now. So I've got to put that out there. If you're a Fabian Socialist supporter, If you're a mamby-pamby Christian and you believe you should sit on your hands and wait for Jesus Christ, I don't want you listening to our show. This show is not for the sheep. The show is for the sheepdogs. Period. End of story. I still get a few emails. You're not Christian. How can you call yourself the Christian radio show? I Googled and found Christian radio shows, and I found yours, and I was appalled. I was appalled, I tell you. Ah! You know, and I usually just give them a torrent of cruelty. Actually, no. I give them a bunch of Bible verses, tell them to go read, and that their ignorance and their stupidity does not make me a wacko, and, you know, the usual stuff when I get on a tirade. Thanks. See who's in the chat room. We've got Conge44, C-O-N-G-E. Hope that's Conge44. I hope that's not, like, in French, some insulting, obscene word. Olima's in there. We got a couple guesties, and that's about it. Fridays are usually kind of light. I think most of the people in the world, you know, they're either at work or they're going straight from work to some kind of decompression area, which some people call a bar, or after Friday, you know, TGIF kind of thing. And I used to do that. I used to go out a lot with the folks from work, especially. I had 44 people under me the last real job I had, And at any one time, if I could get half of them to just chill out, because we had a very dangerous job. We were bail enforcement officers, private investigators, skip tracers, you know, all that kind of stuff that you see on TV that looks real exciting. It's not. It's monotonous, and, you know, you'll have... I did have one person get killed, but that was by a random carjacking. But it was good to get together after work and just relax, shake things off, you know. And I got a question from somebody. I don't know. I must have, in the last couple of days, said something about alcohol being evil or something. And he says, what is your stance on alcohol? Same as the Bible. Drink, but don't get drunk. You know, just don't be stupid. I don't drink. I think I've had maybe a few glasses of since I've been an adult. And I'll explain my childhood experience with alcohol. Yes, I had childhood experiences with alcohol. Wine coolers. Ever since I've been in the Army, I've only had a few wine coolers. I like them with spaghetti or lasagna. That's about it. And I get those Seagrams. And I don't even think those are really alcohol. So the person who sent that in, if you're listening, that is my view on alcohol usage. Now, as a kid, I grew up in a family of alcoholics. I was given alcohol as an infant to keep me from crying. That was just the practice of the day. I never became an alcoholic, but everyone else in my family was. God just protected me even before I knew who he was. And a couple times in my teens, I tried to... it means that... conj means leave. It does?
Yeah.
Leave 44? Wow, that's funny. Lou looked it up. You know, homeschooling in action here. I got... One night at a party, I tried to drink Jack Daniels and Dr. Pepper and projectile vomited about 16 feet. And everybody else there ended up going to the emergency room because I drank too much, and I never drank again. Until I joined the Army, and then it was kind of like a social thing. I was always the designated driver, so I might have one wine cooler, and then, you know, 6 hours later, I'd drive all the drunk soldiers back home. It can also mean take a day off. Interesting. So conj 44 means take 44 days off, which sounds like a great idea. All patriots in America should go on a sabbatical, and you guys should all come here and visit and hang out. I think it would be cool if we all just pulled out of the system. We were talking about that either yesterday or the day before. Just pull out of the system. look at Louis. They're putting all the leave, holiday, furlong. I missed a lot of school, so it was appropriate. I had the record in high school for missed days. I got to take my hat off. It's getting hot in here. I never went to school on a Friday or a Monday during high school. Never. Like I told you guys before, if you're a listener, you know that I was involved in the punk rock scene. I was either playing in bands, and usually I had to be somewhere Friday early, you know, like when I say early, I mean like 6 p.m. to set up. So I just ditched school on Friday, and then I was out late Sundays performing or organizing. When I wasn't in a band, I was promoting bands, or I was being a DJ. Not like today's DJs. I was actually a real DJ. I mean, I didn't do dance clubs, you know, waka 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 and roll, you know, whatever those they do. I would just play records for things like skating rinks, dance clubs, and, you know, that kind of stuff. I worked at several radio stations. I worked at public radio stations, you know, where I just like, it is now 4:25 and it's times four. Focus on the panda, you know, stupid stuff like that. Like, all things considered, today we consider my navel. And so we would do stuff like that, and then I'd be on like heavy metal stations, country western stations, different things like that. And so I never went to school on a Monday that I know of. They threatened to expel me, and I made one of those, you know, 1980s teen angst movie moments. I told the principal, okay, give me all my finals now. And I crammed, and I got like C's and B's on all my finals, and they had to graduate me. Because they didn't want to admit that I wasn't there, because they got money for every day that a student's in school. And it's weird, because I spent last night, I had insomnia. I was looking in the little town I was in. It was about 1,900 people, you know, back when I was there in 83. And now it's like 2,700 people. It hasn't grown at all. It's just a bucolic little town. So you guys have to look up bucolic. I'm not going to tell you what that means. And it was sad because I hated it back then, and I couldn't wait to get out. But you know what? Today, last night, I was so homesick. I lived in a trailer, not in a trailer park, although I lived in a lot of those. But in my high school years, actually 8 through finishing high school, so 5 years, we lived in a trailer on a street that had 2 trailers on it, and the rest were houses, and everybody made fun of us. And in fact, we didn't live on the wrong side of the tracks. It was the first time in my life that I didn't live on the wrong side of the tracks. Well, they went and built a set of train tracks going east-west just so I could be behind the tracks. I thought it was hilarious. It was an agricultural train track, and they put it in to get to the sugar beet factory, and I'm like, ah, I'm behind tracks again. But everybody else was, you know, it was like the constant joke. We were the only people that really belonged behind the tracks. I lived behind a factory, so, you know, where they built cattle feeding equipment called Harsh Hydraulics. And but I was looking at those. The house that I lived in college in a bigger town called Fort Collins, Colorado, I was paying $300 a month rent there in the in 91-92. Now, I could have bought that house for $30,000. It was a two-bedroom little 1870s house with a stonework basement. It originally was built for four apartments for train employees to do stayovers when they changed the crews on the trains, you know, the old steam trains that came through. And somebody bought it and put doorways in it, took the big fireplace out, and you guys wrestling over there? Studio audience is fighting for seating.
Chair got stuck on the shelf.
Oh, okay. Somebody got trapped on a...
It was a chair.
It was the law books pinned you. And so, you know, we could have bought the house. I let my ex-wife know. She didn't. She talked me out of it. We ended up moving to Southern California, which was a huge mistake. And then I saw in 2000 that very same house sold for $150,000. It's a cute little house, a nice little porch. Fits in really well there. I huge Victorians everywhere. And then these little, they're like servant houses around. And now it's in foreclosure, and I could probably pick it up for about $15,000. Not that I'm going to. Well, one, I don't have $15,000, and I'm not going to leave the stronghold that I'm at until the Lord tells me to. But it's just I was thinking about just this financial cycle that went from 92 to 2010. I mean, just look what they did to us. Look what they did to our belongings. Look what they did to our investments. If I have investments still, I'm sure they're not worth anything because they were through my union and the fire department kind of thing, retirement. And it's just strange to me. And now with this new medical bill that came out, I sent out to you guys, you know, the regular listeners and people that email me. If you want to get my regular stuff, you know, you can go check out the forum, and we post stuff in the forum too. They hid this little thing, and you guys got to listen to this. This is really annoying. They hid this bill in the medical bill that passed, that when you render your gold and silver, you go render it, they taxed it.
Yeah.
They put a tax on it now. So all you people that were putting your money in gold and silver thinking it'll protect my investment, when you go and sell it now, Obongo put a tax on it so that he can pay for, you know, injections for, you know, little kids in school. Wow, that wind.
When you think about that, Dutch, what does that really have to do with medical?
It has nothing to do with medical.
Exactly.
That's just the way the system works. Yeah. They hide legislation in it. You get all distracted by the monkey banging on the cymbals, and you don't see that they're stealing more tax money from you. And anyone who cashes in gold and silver has to be registered. So what does it do? It lets them know who is hoarding gold and silver. I told you that would happen. I told you. Next, they're going to say they're going to do the bullet tax thing, you know, and then they'll know who all of us are that are buying bullets. You know, you'll have to, they'll do like, we're going to do a special tax on hoarded bullets. We're not going to take them, but we need to know how many you have. Get ready for the next shiv to go into your other side. It's coming, folks. I got to take a drink of water here. Stand by. I'm a thirsty little feller. I bet we will find a lot of non-medical items in that bill, Conj says. Yeah, it's true. There's going to be all kinds of stuff. Just before we went to air, we were kind of loosely discussing CPS issues. They're picking up kids now for being obese. If you have an obese child and somebody reports you, I hate people who report other people, like, you know, neighbors and stuff. I got to calm down. That they'll report you for not feeding your child right, and they'll consider it child abuse if you have a fat kid. Now I'm lucky Lewis isn't fat, but that's because, you know, we lock up the Twinkies. And we use them as encouragement, or, you know, refuse them for punishment. Oh, it's not Twinkies. I'm sorry. What do you eat, Luke? Zingers. Zoo's a zinger boy. And he likes the vanilla zingers, which is like the lowest of all zingers. I don't know. Yeah, you do like the vanilla zinger.
Oh, they're not the lowest.
Dude, you need to shave. Luke's got a mustache.
He does?
Look at it. I don't know if it's the lighting or if that's dried milk.
I don't drink milk.
All right. So you got a mustache. You going to put handlebars on that? That's pretty cool. I hadn't noticed it really before. It's growing in there, you know. You can't use my razor. You got to get your own, boy. I don't want to be finding, you know, chunks of skin and blood all over mine. I'll teach you how to shave when it gets a little bigger. We'll get the weed whacker out. Or we'll just get some milk and let the kitty lick it off. What do you think? You can use the kitty to shave. He's laughing now. He was first embarrassed. Now he's laughing. Because that's not peach fuzz, boy. That's bristly. You're gonna start looking like a gunfighter. You get that mustache growing, put some handlebars on it, that black hair, those black eyes. They're black from here. What color are your eyes?
Brown.
Well, that's because of all the poo you're full of. I gotcha. No, but yeah, you have to get yourself a Stetson and some boots.
Best.
It'll make me. It reminds me of Little Big Man, the movie, when he was in his gunfighter phase. He'd be like the soda pop kid or sarsaparilla kid or what? Were you the what are you? You like the cherry cola kid? That'll be you. You can be the cherry cola kid, and you're gonna have to have two pistols. Oh, another motorhome. Oh, look at that Suzuki. See, I'm a samurai guy. Another motorhome's pulling in. Look at how nice, lifted, clean Suzuki Samurai. We need to stop them and tell them it costs them one samurai to turn around in our parking lot. Lou, get down there and make it happen. They're going to try and go all the way around the building. We've got to make sure they don't hit the building. Let's listen. What happens is we're about a half mile away from a really, really super nice Sierra Ranch RV park. They went around the back, Deb.
Oh, that's what I heard. Okay.
Here comes another one. It's like a column of motorhomes, all these rich folks coming up from the valley.
Come on, there we go.
And they miss the campground, and there's no place in this mountain road to turn around except our church. So now they're trying to go all the way around the building. So if they hit it, we know who to look for. The guy with the samurai made it through. There's no marks on him. Let's see if this big gray one, if the boat gets through.
Let's put marks on it so we get marks.
Yeah, go put green smudge marks on it. You hit our church. Just give us $3,000 to fix the roof. That's what we need. We do have a roof fund going. And I think we're about $3,000 short, so yeah, I think we're okay. Those guys were smart. They're the first ones to go around the building. Usually they just go up on the football field and turn around. And that gets dangerous because it could sink in the sand or the dirt or the mud
football
in the mire.
Field.
Yeah, baseball field, football field. That's what it used to be when this was a school.
Uh-huh.
Now it's a shooting range. That's why the studio audience is new. He's like, yeah, a football field? Well, when we were a school, we used to be K-12. Debbie, did you go here?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, did you graduate from here?
No, but my brother was the very first graduate.
Oh, that's sweet. See, when we had a lot of people up here, well, I wasn't here then. When they had a lot of people up here, they had enough kids, they had their own school here. That's what we're looking for, Christian Covenant Community, folks. We need more of you. I heard there's a new, because, you know, I'm yelling this stuff out on the airways all the time. There's someone who's, a couple people have made contact with the pastor, and he's reviewing their applications. Telling them what the process is. You don't just plop down here and move in. You gotta have a relationship with us and all that. And I go over that. And I'm not gonna berate you. The other thing I did is I also sent you folks out flyers. Well, not really a flyer, but a generic announcement for the conference, because I had people asking me for them. Usually they don't do a flyer until September, but yeah, Olima says that's how you found the church. You made a wrong turn. I made a wrong turn on the main road. That's right, Olima. I was supposed to be up South Fork Road and meeting some guys from my daughter's school, some other parents to go fishing. I went up North Fork. So yeah, you're right. Maybe they'll get lost and park their motorhomes here and become part of our church body. Shouldn't be chasing anybody off. You're right. Unless they're scary looking. And even then, I was kind of scary looking. But yeah, you're right, Olima. That's a good thing to know there. But I sent that little announcement out. If you guys want to cut and paste that anywhere you want, put it everywhere. Stick it up on stuff. I know we're only limiting it to 280 people, but I can tell you this. If we get a huge turnout, we're going to get one of them big revival tents and stick it out on the football/shooting field. And we'll shut down our shooting range and put one of them big revival tents out there, get a big portable air conditioner if we need it, seat 500, 600, 700 people.
That's great.
Well, I've already brought it up, but they don't think there's going to be that many people. But I'm telling you, folks, things are changing.
Yeah.
The winds of change are whispering in the ears of people. They're getting scared. They're getting nervous. We've already got more reservations than they've ever had at this early on, people. So I sent that flyer out. If you didn't get a copy of it, did we put it in the forum? I think,
yeah,
I put it in the forum.
Did.
Yeah, and Lou may have. It may have been posted twice. But go to the forum. You can see it there. And when we get a more detailed flyer with the topics of the presentations, and if people ask what it's going to be, just say it's going to be about the Muslim invasion. It's going to be about restoring liberty in America. It's going to be about getting back to what our founding fathers intended for this country with a biblical point of view, a biblical worldview. So that way you'll get a lot of people. Lou's putting the forum up there again. If you want to get into the forum, go to dutchjones.tk. In fact, I forgot to see. My computer wasn't on when I came in, so I had to do it, and I didn't announce. Let's see here. Let's make sure everybody knows we're on the air. Because the people on Facebook, when I remind them that we're on, they all come clamoring over. We are live now. I like using caps. Everybody hates it when you text caps. Come listen to the truth. And then I'm going to cut and paste where they can listen. You guys heard live yesterday that Ed Kornke suggested that we televise all of our... Well, not televise, because we don't have the bandwidth yet. We audio-vise, we radio-vise, we transmit our sermons to you on a regular basis. Sundays and Wednesdays, I think, would be okay, but definitely Sundays. I talked to the pastor on the phone who is chillaxing on the coast right now, somewhere down in Southern California. I don't want to give out his location. But when I talked to him, he goes, "I'm sitting on the shore watching the fog roll in, and it's like very cool because it's very hot up here." So he's out still relaxing from all the stresses of being the leader of a whacked out Christian militia church. Because even though we're a Christian militia church, we still have all the same problems of a real church. Where was I going with that, Lou? Where was I going? I just built a verbal bridge to nowhere.
Sunday and Wednesday.
Oh, so we're gonna tell him televise, and he said he'd think about it. I'd like to see it so you guys could join us. And he says, "Oh, they just want to hear the sermons." I go, "No, they want to hear the music too." And like last week, we did the Battle Hymn of the Christian Republic, which I bet most of you have never heard. We should have recorded it. We've been trying to find it online where somebody else sings it, but we can't. We just find the words, right? Right, Lou?
Yeah.
See if you can find an MP3 of the Battle Hymn of the Christian Republic, and we'll play it today. Because the words are amazing. Because we don't like the Battle Hymn of the Republic. It was written by a Fabian socialist. It was about stamping out Christianity. I mean, I know you don't believe me of that, but if you want to, you Google John Weaver, Truth About the Battle Hymn of the Republic. He's got a great teaching on it. His teaching on the Battle Hymn of the Republic is amazing. It was written basically by a Marxist. And it was promoting the terrorism against Southerners by Northern abolitionists, who were just as bad as the Southern slave owners that beat their slaves. Period. I don't excuse either one of them. The South needs to apologize and repent for its brutal treatment of slaves where it occurred. It didn't happen everywhere. And the North needs to repent for allowing its abolitionists to go around and murder people. Do you know the first person John Brown murdered was a black slave? Yeah. He didn't care. It had nothing to do with liberating the blacks. It was about him just being nuts and being a terrorist. I was proud when I became an MP and I found out that our symbol of MP crossed Harper's Ferry pistols was to signify the battle with John Brown's men at Harper's Ferry when he was captured and later hung. Him and Cotton Gin Brown or whatever it was. And I can't remember the names of his sons. But it was pretty neat. And because at that time I was a Confederate, I wasn't a Christian Confederate at 17 and a half. Actually, it was later that I became an MP for another long story. But Harper's Ferry pistols are the cross pistols on an MP's insignia, and that's to signify the battle at Harper's Ferry when John Brown tried to take the guns to start his own counter-revolution. Okay, so that's good. We got that. Lou's looking for that, and back over here.
No, I can't find it.
Oh, Lou's still
not
looking
even
for
the lyrics.
Not even the lyrics? That's kind of that's sad. Yeah, see, they don't want the truth getting out there. We'll have to record a version of it. Lou can be the lead singer. Lou and Debbie can do a duet. We'll have the pastor on the drums. And we'll have the choir that is the church of about 50 people.
I can do that.
And we'll get that posted up. I was surprised people liked it. I need to re-listen to July 4th, Lou. Because to have the Kornke folks saying that they're getting requests for people to... simply, what's the word I'm looking for? To hear the songs. That really surprised me. It surprised me greatly because we're not known for our singing. Look at all the guests in there. Welcome, guests. If you sign in, you can chat and post questions to the host, which would be me, and I can answer those things. We're coming up on a break here in about 3 minutes, and then when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in the news. I'm going to talk more about them sneaking that legislation in to make you tax whatever gold and silver when you change it back in. Yeah, that's going to do great in the pawn shops. All you people that are going in and exchanging your your junk gold for to pay the rent. It's, you know, you're not getting nothing for it anyway. And all you folks that are sending it into those 800 numbers, it's really the government. I honestly believe that. I think it's the government just trying to get back as much gold as they can, and they're paying you salvage prices for your gold. It's a scam. It's a total and complete scam. And now they're going to tax that. So, like, my wedding ring, I took my wedding ring to a pawn shop, and I went in there, and they offered me $25 for it. When I bought it in 1980, oh, what year was it? I don't even know when I was married now, 1988, I paid $700 for it. Just as a ring, and I don't know how much, you know, gold was in it or anything. So it was, but I just wanted to get rid of it because it was a symbol of a huge mistake I had made. So I sold it, and I took a lady out to Denny's and spent the $25 there. So it was the best $25 I ever received for that. Kind of wish I still had the ring. It looked cool, but I'm sure it would offend Stacy if I still had it. Women are weird about those kind of things. I'm not sentimental about anything except for maybe a couple rifles that I've lost. I found a few things that I've had for a really long time, and I try to keep on them. I had my favorite T-shirt that I've had for like 22 years, a Tiger Stripe T-shirt that I had. Actually, it's old, maybe 25 years, because I had it when I was in the military. The last time it was washed, I had to sew it back together. It's just fallen apart. But I'm sentimental about those kind of things. Sentimental about people. I just using Facebook to make contact with a lot of friends that I grew up with, and it's interesting. Everybody that was Christian is no longer Christian. They're Buddhist or atheist or angry at the world. And everybody that was anarchist, communist, socialist, we're all Christians. It's like this total flip-flop. And we get along with the people that were Christian that quit, but they just don't understand why we're Christian, and we don't understand why they're not. One of the good friends was a girl from England. This is the oldest friend I have. I met her in the second or third grade. I was living with my sister in a town in Colorado, and I went to this little school for about 3 weeks, and I met her there. Then I ran into her again. She lived in the same trailer court as I lived in when I was like 10, 11, and 12. And then when I was 16 and 17, I ran into her. I was DJing at a club, and she walked up to me and recognized me. And I called, you know, so it was kind of neat. And then we were friends, and you know, and she's very interesting. She joined the Navy, I joined the Army, and we never saw each other again until last night or the night before on Facebook. And she was a Christian. It was really cool. She said, I can't talk to you until I have your wife's permission. And I went, that is so cool. So I had Stacy send her an email and tell her that it was cool to talk to me. And so now we're exchanging. We were up till pretty late just, you know, talking about what happened to so-and-so. Her boyfriend, who was my best friend for a while, I mean, her boyfriend for a while was my best friend, became a Buddhist, and back then he was a Christian. Hardcore Christian. And it's interesting to see how people in their paths, they stray. It seems like, and her best friend, who was my girlfriend, who went to a Christian school at the time, is now a raging atheist. So that's what happens. We'll be back after the break. I'm going to drink some water, see if we can't find some good topics to talk about, and then I'll give out the phone number again. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program on ubroadcast.com.
As it was a while ago, the fire once more and they began to run it down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. We looked down the river and we see the British come, and there must have been 100 of them beating on the drum. We stuck so high and they made the bugles ring. We stood beside a cotton bale and didn't say a thing. We fired our guns and the British kept coming. It wasn't as many as it was a while ago. The fire once more and they began to run it down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. Wasn't as many as it was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. Yeah, they ran through the fires and they ran through the brambles, ran through the trees
this vast right-wing conspiracy that has been conspiring against my husband since the day he announced for president.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
Gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points, bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere!
A new world order.
A new world order.
A new
attention!
World order.
A new world order.
Attention! Government
is an emergency! Repeat! An emergency!
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody!
Heavens! What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap! It's time to
touch Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
Okay, microphone's up. How's that sound when I do that? Is that really annoying? I kind of like it. I'm Dutch Jones. We just got a call from Sir David during the break. And Liberty Tree Radio is down. Liberty Tree Radio is down. They asked me to dial in, but I can't dial anything. I can only receive calls. I know that sounds weird, but this is a public building, and they had to set the phones up that way because people were coming up here and calling like 976 hockey score and stuff. That's putting it nicely. So the building that we're in, we can only receive phone calls. We can't dial out outside of our little community here. But we're back. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. This is the second hour. And we're going to be discussing a few things as we pull up. In fact, I got to pull it up now. I got to pull up current event folder that I have here. Okay, here we go. I got something really neat. Debbie here handed us something. I can't remember if it was last night or today.
Yesterday.
But they say Cowboy Ten Commandments. I would say also Redneck Ten Commandments. Number one, ready? Get ready for this one. Just one God. Honor your ma and pa is number two. No telling tales and gossiping, that's number three. Get yourself to Sunday meeting, that's number four. And the fifth commandment, put nothing before God. Put nothing before God. Then, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. No fooling around with another fella's gal. Number 7, and I'm going to change this one a little bit. No killing anybody who don't need killing. Watch your mouth. Don't take what ain't yours. And don't be hankering for your buddy's stuff. I like that. We're going to have to print. We're going to put that up on the wall in the studio. I like that. What's on the backside? What was this one? Oh, it's just the regular Ten Commandments for like kids. You know, do not worship other gods. Do not worship idols. Do not misuse God's name. Oh, wait. Yeah. God's name in vain wasn't on here.
Yeah, it's watch your mouth.
Where's watch your mouth?
The third line. Oh.
It says no telling tales or gossiping.
I mean, third from the bottom.
Watch your mouth. Yeah, okay. Yeah, watch your mouth. Just don't be swearing. So that was pretty good. Anyway, yeah, they passed a bill that makes it so you can't change in your gold without them knowing about it. Now, where did I put it? Dun, 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 dun. I got it here somewhere. Man, I can never find stuff. Here we go. Oh, it's a radio show that somebody sent me. I'm not going to play another radio show on here. Anyway, take my word for it. It was sent in by Jaws of Life, listener to the show. I guess she listens at a different time because we don't see her anymore in the chat room. And I followed some other articles on it, and they did hide that in there. So as you check in and cash in on your gold and silver, platinums, unavailabilium, or whatever else you have that you're putting your money into, you better hang on to it instead of cashing it in. Save it for the post-collapse economy. Going back up here. They declared an emergency and forced all the ships out of the impact area for the oil leak. And they're going to leave the cap uncovered. Or excuse me, uncovered, unwatched. And it is leaking a little bit. And they said they're going to leave it out there for 14 days. I guarantee you, it's going to bust. And then they're going to do all this other stuff, and it's going to be worse and more money. But originally, did you hear what's going on? The companies, British Petroleum, and then I can't remember the name of the company that owned the platform, they have found like an 1820s law that puts a cap on damages that they can pay civilly. So all these people that lost all their jobs, the 12 or 11 people that died on the rig, the most they can be sued for is like $37 million a year. I don't know who's doing that. $37 million along those.
Calling 260.
Put it on and see who it is. It's probably a wrong number. I don't know who would be calling our cell phone.
Dutch is on the air.
Who is it?
Who is this?
Who is it? Who is it? Who's calling me one?
Timmons.
Huh? Spike. Timmons. Tell Spike we're on the air. Give him the other number. You can call on the air. We can't get the cell phone on the air. It's a total scam. They're never going to pay. They're never going to reimburse the people for their lost jobs. We may never know the real purpose of this conspiracy.
No, but
we never altering the photographs too.
Yeah, you know that their pictures of their controls, the pictures in the control center were photoshopped. I mean, it's like the Zapruder film. You know, you see what you see, and then you know. But they have the technology to actually cover it up. And it's just going to add to the long line of things that Alex Jones will be able to talk about. You know, it'll be more and more conspiracies one after the other. But the one thing I really want to talk about is Representative Rangel. Isn't this guy, what's he saying? They're trying to get me on the air on...
Trying to get you on the air.
I can't call out. I can't dial anything.
I told him to look for you on UBroadcast.
Yeah, they can take the UBroadcast feed. That would work. Thanks, Spike, if you're listening. That's cool. I'm surprised he still has my cell phone number. That's pretty cool. I guess the people are hankering for Dutch. I'm impressed. They're actually going out of their way to get us up on the air. I feel really loved by that. But anyway, Democrats nervously anticipating Representative Charles Rangel's ethics trial know all about the media frenzy and negative ads accompanying election season scandals. They generated it themselves in 2006 when Republican Representative Mark Foley was forced to resign in disgrace. Now, the difference is, Rangel here, they're going after him for ethics, and he's like 81 years old. He's ready to retire, and if he... gets up on the stand, he's going to tell all about the Democrats. He's going to have Pelosi and everybody else he doesn't care. You can tell this man has no honor. He's going to throw everybody under the bus, and now they're scared. And Foley's misdeed stemmed from, you know, they're talking about how they got the Republican from dealing with House pages and efforts by Republicans, then in the majority to ignore and cover them up. So Rangel's ethics charges raise questions about his management of money and taxes and his official role pose difficult choices for the party that won its majority in large part by vowing to run the most ethical Congress in history. And now one of their leaders, one of the guys steering the Democrat boat. You know, don't get me wrong, I'm focusing on the Democrats today, but I love it when they go after a Republican too for this kind of stuff. Rangel has long acknowledged that his ethics troubles had no upside for Democrats in difficult re-election bids. The good news, he said at a news conference Friday, was that perhaps the matter would soon end. Not if Republicans, still feeling the decisive sting of the Foley scandal, can help it. Rangel's announcement is a reminder of Washington's Democrats' most glaring broken promise, read the headline on a news release quoting House Republican leader John Boehner. or Bonner. I always say Boner. It's probably, he probably prefers Bonner, but it's spelled B-O-E-H-N-E-R. That's Boner. Across the Capitol, Republicans in the Senate tried to get some mileage out of Rangel's difficulties with a brief leading off with Dem Senate's hopeful stand by Charles Rangel and the and his tainted cash. That wasn't true. Representative Brad Ellsworth, a Democrat from Indiana, a candidate for the Senate, announced Friday he will donate past campaign contributions from Rangel to Indiana charity. See, the money's tainted. It goes everywhere. Rangel's ripping off money, giving it to other Democrats, so why? He can control them. His campaign received $12,000 from Rangel between 2005 and 2007, but Ellsworth said he has not received contributions for his Senate race. I wonder why. But for his part, Rangel vowed to fight the charges, starting with a public hearing on Thursday. I hope you get some sort of satisfaction from this thing that's coming to a head, Rangel told reporters. I'm surprised he's not saying this is a high-tech lynching of a black man. I'm waiting for that one. This may or may not be a good thing for Rangel and the Democrats, though. There was an emphatic lack of meaningful comment on House Democrat leaders Friday, and an indication that the way forward for the 40-year congressional veteran, beloved in many quarters, was unclear to just about everyone. I'm trying to read while my eyes are sweating. Does that sound stupid or what? I can't see. More clear was evidence that the stress of living day-to-day as a scandalized public figure had begun to weigh on the feisty 80-year-old former Ways and Means Committee chairman. Shortly after the Ethics Committee announced what amounted to an indictment on unspecified charges Thursday, Rangel snapped to a reporter asking the dumb question of whether his job was in jeopardy. You think my job's in jeopardy? Yeah. You know, there's a few things worse than local good old boy judicial systems where they're just out to generate money. That's when the Senate or Congress mounts some committee and comes after you. Those are the worst. They will destroy you. He apologized Friday and convened a news conference to give reporters who had been hounding him everywhere he went a chance to ask any questions they wanted to answer. But there would be not many answers, Rangel said. Several times, and he just didn't want to answer him, and he said that the situation was awkward. My lawyer would kill me because they say the best thing in my best interest is not to make any comments. See, that's what happens when you get a lawyer. Rangel said during a news conference in New York, I don't know how to say no comment. Was he relishing a fight, he was asked? Hell no, he replied. You know, behind closed doors, he's making all kinds of threats. This is the kind of guy that kept a diary of every nasty backroom deal he was ever part in, any payola he ever took part in. He has names. He knows where every body is buried. And even worse, for the people that are still living, he knows where they're working. The ones that are dead, you can't hurt that many. On Capitol Hill Friday, several knowledgeable Democrats said any strategic planning had effectively been placed on hold until it became clear whether Rangel could avoid public trial by striking a deal or resigning. Now, the one you got to worry about is the deal, because truth is never served. Justice is never served when they strike the deal. Resigning, it'll seal it up and he'll go away. Isn't that great? You and I commit a crime. If we just go to the DA, I tell you what, how about if I just moved to another county and you just drop all the charges? Not going to happen. How about if I quit my job down at the ice cream shop and promise never to work in an ice cream shop again and you won't talk about me embezzling ice cream? Okay, just as long as you quit and you go and never come back here again. Why is it these guys get that offer? Especially with the amount of, and let's just talk about the money. We don't know how many lives he's damaged, but just the amount of money involved in what he did and what he's probably still doing right now. You don't think you stopped, do you? You just got better at being sneaky. Option one, urge him to cut the proceedings short by admitting guilt to some charges and or resigning from the House. This would kick up a storm of unrest, especially from the Congressional Black Caucus, which Rangel helped found. See, the Congressional Black Caucus, a racist group. Option two, sit back and watch the New York Democrats' trial unfold. Hope the voters aren't as incensed by Rangel's fundraising practices and his failure to pay taxes as they were over Foley's come-ons to former male pages. See how quickly we forget that. Foley, a sodomite. And get some defense ready for the Republican charges of hypocrisy and failure to drain the swamp of corruption as Democrats vowed 4 years ago. See, this is all a distraction, too. Why do you think this is going on right now? Why do you think this is going on? I'm going to point out all the hypocrisy and what I think they're really doing. At the very least, majority Democrats are getting a taste of what it's like to manage a transcendent scandal in the shadow of an election. Usually they're going after the repubs, huh? 4 years ago, then-Speaker Dennis Hastert and other top Republicans were besieged daily by reporters demanding to know why Foley's conduct was allowed to go on for years. Because they're all a bunch of sodomite. I mean, it's just like Rome. I told you the other day, this is just the new Rome. D.C. is the new Rome. And, you know, they're all up there doing whatever they want to do because they're superhumans. They're above the law. They write themselves out of the law. They think they can do whatever they want. Then it was Democrats running the negative ads back when Foley was the focus. And while all the Republicans wanted Foley to quit, his resignation didn't stop the bleeding. The cover-up became the story. Then came the election. Republicans lost the House. See, it's a game. That's the nut right there. It goes back and forth. It doesn't matter. The ship... Do you guys understand how autopilot works on an airplane? Especially the older ones. The plane can kind of lanteen or serpentine a little bit left and right as long as the overall correction gets it to the right place on time. And the right place that our government is going is tyranny. So if it goes a little to the left for a while, that's okay. Then the pendulum's going to swing and it's going to go a little to the right. But it's still the same evil people controlling where we're going. And, you know, everybody, I keep hearing it. Man, I'm so sick of it. I listen to, and I shouldn't, I listen to commercial talk radio, and I hear people calling up and saying, remember in November, and oh, now's the chance. We're gonna get those Republicans, we're going to get those Democrats out of there and get the Republicans in. You guys, how quickly people forget, not you guys, how quickly America forgets just how screwed up George Bush was. You know, we're at like, I don't even know. It's the deficit's like, you know, gone up. It's a record high again. Nothing's changed. Nothing's promised. Unemployment. Remember when they promised us unemployment will never go over 8% if we do all these things? And now we got double-digit employment. And if you really look at it, there are very few states below 12% unemployment. I hope I said unemployment earlier. They'll tell you one thing and do exactly what they're going to do and then tell you they're going to keep doing the one thing you want them to do. And they're going to keep doing what they're doing. It reminds me of date rape. I know this sounds disgusting, but it's what it is. They keep talking nice and everything and firm about what they're, you know, oh, no, no, no. But yet, their hands are speaking another language, right? They talk above the table one way, but underneath, there's an entire war being waged against us. And 98% of America goes right along with the stupidity. I heard a thing today on Hannity. This guy called him and goes, I'm a strict constitutionalist. And Hannity goes, oh, really? You are? Why? He goes, well, I think the foundations, you know, the founding fathers were great, and that's what we should go back to. And Hannity actually said this. He goes, if we go back to the Constitution and it tolerates that only Christians can serve in office, you know, in state-level offices, governor, state representatives, if they had in their state constitutions and the federal constitution said that was okay, would you still support the Constitution? Oh no, that would go against what all the founding fathers wanted and all this. And then Hannity goes, well, in reality, that's what the original Constitution said, that they allowed the states to do that. In fact, I think it's something like 38 states still have it in their constitution that you have to be a Christian and you have to swear an oath to Jesus Christ to serve in public office. But then Hannity said this, because I thought, hey, great, he's going to educate some people. He goes, but there are some parts of our Constitution and the thinking that has to change. And I went, what? So here's a guy that knocks all the Fabian socialists and all the changing Constitution people, and yet he wants to change it too. They're picking and choosing people. We are seeing brainwashing on a mass scale. This makes the Manchurian candidate look like nothing. They have successfully brainwashed 97-98% of the population into thinking, oh great, they're going after Rangel, that's wonderful. No, Rangel's ready to retire. He just said, okay, put the heat on me, get it off Obongo. There's a lot of theories out there that they're making everything so bad so that Hillary can walk in and say, hey, we're sorry we let that idiot take over. Give me a chance. Don't go to the Republican. And then others say, well, the Republicans want to get even deeper into right-wing tyranny, so Obongo's role was to just screw everything up so bad they can come back. I don't know. I don't think it really matters, because I don't care one way or another what they're going to do. It doesn't change how I respond, and it shouldn't change how you respond. Yeah, I'm one of those shows that says don't vote, don't waste your time on national issues. Vote locally, act locally, run locally, function locally. In fact, I want you to just give a big old raspberry to anything federal that comes in your mail. Don't pay your taxes. Don't put your money in national banks. Don't register to vote. Just go down locally. I don't register to vote. And you know what I do? I demand to vote. I show up and I say, hey, I want to vote. And they give me a provisional ballot. Because when I register to vote, they know where I'm at. And they send me all kinds of other stuff like jury duty and all that kind of stuff. I don't want to take part in the corrupt judicial system. There are other people that willingly go into it. They take the citizen's handbook and they fight. I don't see that as my battlefield. I'm not knocking those that do. I don't want to be part of the problem. I know that it's so corrupt. It'd be like, you know, I always talk about throwing a little yeast into the bread. If it's bread, that's fine. But if you're throwing yeast into a cesspool, what do you accomplish? So the school system, cesspool. Judicial system, cesspool. National level governance, cesspool. And there's probably a lot of state cesspools too. I have very little faith in our state level government here in California. I keep getting emails from people going, why are you in California again? And this isn't where they're attacking, you know, California. They're like, you're from Colorado. You need to be here with us. Actually, I had three people tell me, two tell me to move to Colorado, one invited me to Nebraska. And I'm like, you know, keep my number. You never know if things get real bad here, but I'm going to keep fighting here as long as I'm told to. And that's my purpose. But I read you these things not to make you go, oh man, everything's just getting worse and worse and worse. Somebody called EJ Moneybags just texted me. At least the Democrats finally have a candidate that's got a resume outside of elected Elvin Green. I don't know who Elvin Green is. Sorry. Did you ever notice that when a Democrat is found guilty, the Democrats will use the process and get rid of their own if it goes that far? When a Republican is found guilty, the GOP never brings up charges, makes excuses, and spins the facts down the toilet. That's probably true. And that was somebody calling themselves M. M. So those are my Facebook listeners. So thank you. I'll get another one here. What's this one?
It doesn't matter who you vote for. All the eggs in the basket.
Yeah. They're all tainted. It's one bad apple, you know, so long. Somebody says, it's amazing when you see it all laid out like that. That was from Alex. Thank you, Alex. That's a female Alex from up there. She's commenting on when I was talking about how that house I lived in, you know, so there's some delay here. Some people are getting on a pretty big delay. That's kind of weird. But, of course, I could have got that in there. Alvin Green is South Carolina Senate candidate. Okay, good. Thank you. Congress seems to allow these guys to quit and walk away. That's true, Conj. Every 4 years, someone now tells Americans that they have the answer to everything. And they create new legislation for it, don't they? They just keep dumping new laws and new laws and new laws. You know why they do that? It makes it so when it's impossible to find out which law is active. I mean, half the time, if you get arrested for something serious, like today, 5 minutes before we went on the air, I'm listening to the radio. Two teenage boys were found in their high school last night. They broke into the library. They charged them with conspiracy. What in the world is that? I mean, I know what it is. But when I was a kid and you got caught in your high school and you didn't do any damage, they took you home to your parents, you got a whooping. Yeah. A 14 and a 15-year-old boy in, I think it was Porterville, were charged with conspiracy because they broke into a high school library. And, of course, they were charged with trespassing, breaking and entering. But they put conspiracy. Do you know what conspiracy is? That is the hammer they use when they want to just destroy you. Now, if they use their cell phones to get there, it'll be a federal charge. Watch. Because you're using federal franchise phone frequencies.
Where is conspiracy coming in?
Conspiracy, they started that under the RICO Act, and they brought that up to get organized crime and drugs. Because there were some things they just couldn't do because it was a violation for them to do unwarranted phone taps and all that kind of stuff. So they got people on conspiracy, just talking about a crime. Okay, here we go. An example. Me and the studio audience decide we're going to go down to We Three Bakery, break in and steal a bunch of bagels. We never do it. They keep waiting for us to do it because, you know, they're listening to the radio show, the room's bugged. They keep waiting for us. Well, finally they get tired and they just charge us with us talking about it. It is a thought crime. It is a interpersonal communication crime. Same thing that happened to Hutari. Conspiracy for sedition. And it is the perverse way that they do it. Yeah, the conspiracy to read books without school approval, somebody says. That's funny. Yeah, they're taking back some that they didn't get back during the school year. They didn't want to get the big fine.
What is conspiracy? How can they charge them with conspiracy for breaking in?
Because they did it together, two people together. Everything's a conspiracy. Oh. Hey, Bill, let's go break into that school. You sure we should do that? Yeah, we should. And then they probably talked to him separately, you know, two cops, the way weasel cops work. Hey, man, you know, your friend's already telling that it was your idea. It wasn't my idea. It was his idea. He told me that it'd be cool if we broke in, and finally I agreed. There's your conspiracy. Charging teenagers with conspiracy to break into a school building. Aww. Now, there can be a conspiracy for a bunch of kids to kill some girl because they don't like her. That happens. I could see that. But conspiracy was an arrow that they created when none of the other arrows would hit. Things like, you know, they got sick and tired of not being able to get Al Capone. They got sick and tired of not being able to get a lot of guys in the 60s and 70s. Conspiracy, the RICO Act kind of thing is what they, you know, they didn't use the RICO Act on these kids, but conspiracy is the fruit of that poison tree, if you understand what I'm saying. This is how parents lose their homes because their kids selling pot. This is how landlords use their apartment complexes because there are three or four crack dealers in there. That's how they do this. It is just a consolidation of power. It's another way to squeeze our cojones in a vice so that they can get more money out of us. Because these kids' parents are going to go, conspiracy! Oh my God, they could have a criminal record. They could do time in the juvenile. They already took them to juvenile hall, it said. What is that? Take them home, and if there isn't a mom or dad there to beat the crap out of them, then you take them to juvenile hall. You know, but I know every time anyone in my town got in trouble with the cops, they took us home to our parents, which was far worse for some folks.
Yeah.
Than spending a night in jail, especially in our little town. I didn't know if we had a jail. I think they handcuffed you to the secretary's desk and left you there overnight. I really don't think Eaton, Colorado had a jail. Nobody ever saw it that I know. We had the two violent things we had is the bowling alley guy woke up one day and his wife was shot in the head accidentally with his pistol. And he was later charged with child molestation, so I don't know. I don't know if they ever proved that he accidentally shot her. He said he accidentally shot her in the night because his pistol was under his bed. So I don't know what that was. And we had a bank robbery at our only bank in town, Eaton Bank. And the silent alarm went off. A block and a half away was the police station. Barney Fife, Mike Juglin, if he's still alive out there, ran in and got clubbed over the head by the criminals, and they got away. Those are the only two things I know of. I mean, there were some, you know, Mexicans killing Mexicans on the other side of town over drugs, but we didn't. That was Ragtown. South of the, east of the of town was Ragtown Raiderville. That's what they called themselves. They were the migrant workers that came up for a few months and then they left. Every once in a while, some drunk Mexican guy would shoot some other drunk Mexican guy over a wife issue. But in our town, those are the only two violent things I know of ever happening. We had, you know, the usual suicides and everybody got real quiet and stuff. But the cops, I mean, they would just... I remember one time somebody broke into the Lutheran church and spray-painted in big letters, "Where is your God?" So, of course, they thought it was me. So what'd they do? They go to my mom and dad. They didn't have SWAT come out and get me like they do today. Okay, folks, we're going to be come back up after the break. We don't know if we're going to be on Liberty Tree Radio, but that's okay. We'll have a little private conversation here. We'll be back after the break. I'm Dutch Jones. This is You Broadcast.
Night and he's pulling them over left and right. He sort of looks like Darth Vader with his gun and his radar and his flashing blue light. He drives a government squad car full of all kinds of hardware to handle the angry mob. And with his badge on his shoulder and his gun in his holster, he'll tell you he's just doing his job. Watch out for martial law. When he's out there watching after you, if he's a tool of the bankster, he's a badge-wearing gangster, an agent straight from Interpol. Watch out for martial law. He's there to prove who owns the muzzle and might, and he just might pull you over to the side of the shoulder, 'cause he cannot see your license plate. Ain't it a frightening feeling when you're behind the wheel and you see him there? Or when
when you're round in the corner and he's right there behind you in your rearview mirror. Is he a foe or a friend or this public defender we see on our TV screen? Or just some vain, reckless power gaining strength every hour, a threat to the American dream? Watch out for martial law when he's out there watching after you. If he's a tool of the bankster, he's a badge wearing gangster, collector of the revenue. Watch out for martial law. And if he's tailing you, you better not run. Just read the news in the papers covering some of his capers. He's dangerous when he's aiming that gun. That boy is dangerous when he's aiming that gun. Time when it seemed like he was part of the dream, when we could count on him. But now he sold his allegiance to those socialist schemers and their every whim. Now I've got nothing against him if he's out defending my country, my Bill of Rights. But if he's out there abusing all those powers he's using, then maybe we should turn off his lights. Watch out for martial law when he's out there watching after you. If he's a tool of the bankster, he's a badge wearing gangster, an agent straight from Interpol. Watch out for martial law. He's there to prove who owns the muscle and might, and he just might pull you over to the side of the shoulder, 'cause he cannot see your license plate. Watch out for martial law. And if he's tailing you, you better not run. Just read the news in the papers covering some of his capers. He's dangerous when he's waving that gun. I said you better be wary if he's had a bad hair day, because he's dangerous when he's aiming that gun. He can be dangerous when he's aiming. He's dangerous when he's aiming that gun.
Government.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
A bang, bang, a bang, bang.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points, bum. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world
order. Attention. New world order. Attention.
The government is
an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Pat Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
La 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 la. Wow. This mic picks up good. I'm going to lean way back. Get all casual. It's Friday. You don't have to have your business attire on to listen to the show. Pants are optional Friday, Lou. Is that what you're saying? Where'd you get that from? What kind of weird places have you worked?
Pants optional Friday.
No. It's casual Friday.
I think that was from Simpsons.
From the Simpsons. You can.
I got shorts.
And I don't think they picked this up because we're not even able to get the replays for Liberty Tree Radio. Everybody's wearing shorts and the ladies in a dress. So sundress. So summer dress. Ooh, I just got a headache. What was that from? Oh. It's like somebody just stabbed me in the back of the skull. Ooh, and I'm not even drinking a slushie. But we're back. This is Dutch Jones. We are not up on Liberty Tree Radio. So this is just between you and me, you know, just a few close friends, and then everybody who listens to it over the weekend.
We do replay it over the weekend, so, and this show is not going to be anything remarkable. We are just talking about a few things here. I'm getting a lot of emails from Sean Sinister. Okay. Let me see what the comment is. Who knows? The email is DutchJonesShow@yahoo.com. DutchJonesShow@yahoo.com. And you can email me too, but the best way is to go through Facebook. It's really fast. I'm going to turn down my mic a little bit. Whoa, right about there. Whoa, right about there. I don't want to overdrive it. People want to talk about the mosque at Ground Zero. I'm going to say something really radical. If the New York officials let them build it, you people don't let them build it. You people really want to put your money where your mouth is? Monkey wrench that thing, tear it down, destroy everything every day. They leave during the day. They come back the next day. Everything's back in the in a big pile in the middle.
That's really radical.
Yeah, it's really radical. You guys don't want them. Hey, honey.
Hi.
Stacy's home. You don't want them to build a mosque on Ground Zero?
Somebody's going to have to move the vehicle so I can have my... You don't have to do it now.
Yeah. Okay.
You too.
I don't have to move so you can park there.
Uh-huh.
And it's my driveway too.
Stacy's
coming in here demanding parking rights. You can park. You can park right behind me or in front of me. Your car was over there too.
And she broke the car, but she's wearing pants.
Yeah, she's wearing pants. Well, she's got off work. It's. Lou said it was pants optional Friday for the Dutch Jones radio show.
And none of us are wearing pants.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
But he made it sound like people weren't wearing any pants, but he means you could wear shorts. He just didn't know. What? Yeah, but it's not up. They're crashed. We're not even on.
Or a unitard.
Oh, really? What
yeah.
Happened?
Lou's going to wear a unitard? We don't know. Oh, hey! Let's see here. Bring up the phone. Hello, are you there?
It just started.
Yeah, Dutch?
Yes, go ahead.
You are being broadcast on Indiana Freedom Radio, which links back through LTR. Ustream, as well as our uplinks.
Wow, okay.
Are being put out through most of the network of Liberty Tree Radio, or at least any of those of the radio links that are linked through presently on Indiana Radio, Freedom Radio.
Great. Indiana Freedom Radio is hearing us. I guess, see, if we weren't going to be on such a large audience, I was going to share marmalade recipes, so thank you for calling.
Yeah, and if anyone wants to find that, you just go to theintelligencereport.tk.
Right.
Theintelligencereport.tk.
TK. I love that TK.
And the other link of being able to find the various links of LTR when LTR is down is intel.militias.info, intel.militias, that's with an S on it, .info. That will give you every link that takes you back to various links of LTR.
Great. Well, thank you, David.
So you are being broadcast, but not on LTR itself. All the other links are up.
Okay. Well, we will... we will get back to our regular program.
And it takes you to various... There's also several... YouTube pages that it takes you to also.
Okay, good. I encourage my listeners to check that out.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
I hear I'm south now.
There you go.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I hear you right there. Okay, well, thank you very much for that.
Thank you very much, Dutch. And you and I will come back Monday, hopefully.
Yes.
And we'll deal with the
issue of militias.
On forming militias and how militias operate.
I'm looking forward to it.
All righty.
Thank you very much.
And I can't believe yesterday your line was blocked. There was no way for me to call in.
Well, we've been having continued problems, but we do have a new location. We're not saying where we're moving to, but as soon as we get the phones installed and the DSL installed, it will be a true hidden location. We won't be giving that out, and they won't know where we're at. So for a while, we'll have some security.
Somebody yesterday was doing a real number because I tried for 3 hours to call in, and all I kept getting was... sorry, all lines are down at present. Please try your call again.
Yeah.
Over and over. That's all I could get. But yet Ed called in. I could call Ed. I could call Hardway. But I couldn't call you.
Well, we'll try and get
operator
around.
And I end up talking to two different operators, and usually when you ask an operator, they'll tell you that there's a line down.
Yeah.
And all I could get from both operators was, well, we can't tell you that information.
Oh, really? Well, they were probably installing the phone tap. They probably finally got their no-knock
something
warrant.
Something was up yesterday for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And
well,
the
that
fact
makes
that
sense.
Ed could call and I couldn't, I have no idea. But in any case, if you go to those websites, people will be able to show see the various links for LTR.
Excellent.
Sorry, LTR itself is down. It's been down now for 4 hours.
Well, we'll be praying for
and,
that to work out for you.
Major lightning storm going on right now in Michigan.
Oh,
we have a storm here, too, but I've been able to keep fighting with the computers. I got two up right now. I've got to go back and get the other one back on.
Oh, excellent. Well, get back to work, and thank you very
thank
much
you.
For letting us know.
See you Monday.
Okay, yep, we look forward to it. And bring that down. Hey, the phone worked fine there. See, something was up yesterday. We had that carload of people come by and acted like they knew somebody here and got all hinky when I confronted them when I was armed. And they knew too much information about the guy and then slipped up and said, well, we heard he was at the coast. I'm like, well, then why were you looking for him? So that's all I'm going to say. You guys are idiots. You're stupid fools. Well, welcome. Welcome to our enlarged listenership. We are on U Broadcast and on other points. Was it... Did you write down where he said we were?
Indiana Free Radio.
Indiana Free Radio. Wow, a new outlet, and I'm honored to be on there. Thank you for your resources and lending them to us. We appreciate that. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. For those of you that have never heard us before we come to you live from Central California, a little town called Cahuilla, California. It's right in the middle of the state. We are a church militia group. And my job, I'm Dutch Jones, my job is recruiter, and local trainer. We bring in professional trainers, but I am the on-site trainer. But my big job is sharing with the world our Christian militant worldview, our love of the founding fathers and what they gave us, and our desire to restore this nation back to what it once was. And our battlefield shout that we put out is no king but King Jesus, period. No king but King Jesus. We will not swear oaths to militia leaders, politicians, or human kings. Period. End of story. So that's what we do. Let me get back up here and see who's going on. And we're going to reset here because we thought we were just going to do a little local friendly show with our few listeners that were on U Broadcast. But now we found out that the mighty flamethrower of militia radio has lent their equipment to us. And we are being heard all over. I got an email last night from a man called The Welder up in New York that's hearing us on CB Channel 2. I love it. Thank you, Scotty38. I appreciate you doing that. It's good to know that people are listening. Well, let's get back to the topics and the news that we were talking about. If you were listening before, you heard that I was saying don't get distracted by all this national garbage. I don't care what they do in Washington. I know it affects me, but I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. I'm going to keep preparing for the day when they really affect me. But you still have to act locally. And here in California, we have a lot of angry people doing a lot of good things. They may not be doing it for the right reasons, but they are doing it. There's a little town down in Southern California, right in the middle of Los Angeles, that is just this tiny town. And this should be national news, and I don't know why it is. And I'm trying to load the article here that I was looking for. When the whole state is in a huge budget crisis, when they're laying off prison guards and releasing early criminals, well, some of, they're not all criminals, some of them are our folks, and they're just running out of money, they're talking about paying state employees federal minimum wage, the little town of Bell, California, it turns out, that their city managers and their city council, now this is a tiny little town, little teeny tiny town, is paying their people twice as much as what Obongo gets to be president. The town is called Bell, California. Residents of this modest blue-collar Los Angeles suburb where one in six lives in poverty were angry and are angry. Their city manager was getting paid more than President Barack Obama and the police chief more than the commander of the nearly 13,000-member LAPD in this little town. It was a good old boy system that got discovered. They demanded and got the manager, the chief, and other high-salaried officials to resign. Good for them. This is about acting locally. They looked for the culprits and found them in the very people they entrusted to lead the city. It's a city of only 40,000 people. Now they're campaigning to boot out the entire city council and mayor. Their mayor and three of their four council members, people they see every day at the grocery store or church,
approved these contracts and put an obscure measure on the ballot that allowed council members to pay themselves any amount of money. And they did. Now, for a part-time job, get this, it's a part-time job, council members who had regular jobs and only met like Tuesdays and showed up at, you know, ribbon cuttings and baby kissing things, they were paid $90,000 to $100,000 a year as part-time city council members. They wrote their own checks. This is America and everything should be transparent. Plumber and longtime Bell resident Ralph Marcia said, what'd you do?
I didn't do anything.
That was weird. That hurt my head. Don't be playing with your cord. It's got to be a short in the cord. I saw you wheeling around. Let's see. In Bell, however, not many people really paid attention. Well, welcome to America, folks. How many of you folks even know what your city manager gets paid? Do you know that almost every city manager in California, even of the scummiest little town, makes more than the governor makes? Now, the governor only gets a dollar because Fatsenega says he's doing it for the good of the people. But they get paid more. Usually, your average city manager makes $150,000 to $200,000 a year. The city of mostly small homes is like many American cities and towns. No newspaper covers them regularly, and the citizens spend what little free time they have with family and recreation. A few who kept tabs on City Hall, you know, see, they're ignoring their civic responsibility on the local level. This article is saying, oh, it's okay. You know where we go the first Monday of every month? To our town hall meetings. We go. And we are gadflies. And if you call yourself a patriot and you don't want to work on the local level, then you shouldn't complain when the local level gets some ordinance that says all front doors have to be white. And if you don't have a white front door, you're going to pay a $200 a year fee. Because it's at these meetings that you find out about these ludicrous laws. And that's what happened in this city. Nobody went to even read. It's all public record. You can see how much people are being paid. When I was working for the city of Moreno Valley, I had some guy come in and he says, why are we paying that guy $38,000 a year? And then so I said, if you don't mind, I'd like to get up and tell the public what I do. And this was on TV. And I told him. I gave him all the jobs that I do and then all the volunteer positions I held in the city. And he went, oh. Well, then the guy got up and goes, well, never mind him then. And then he went on to the next line. So, well, what's this guy do? So I have no problem with doing that when I was a civil servant. I believe in transparency. If I'm taking tax money, I want people to know what I'm doing. A few who kept tabs on City Hall said they were suspicious because the officials were secretive, brusque, and quick to act without explaining themselves. Well, yeah, closed-door meetings, excuses. What caught us by surprise was the amount of money they were paying people, said Ali Saleh, who helped from the Bell Association to stop the abuse, whose acronym was BASTA, which means enough in Spanish. BASTA, BASTA, BASTA. Yeah, it's a predominantly Hispanic community. I've worked there as a bail enforcement officer and a private investigator, and it's predominantly Hispanic Bell. It is a nice little town, given, you know, how the suburbs of L.A. are. It's nothing to write home about. The salaries exploded into public view last week after a Los Angeles Times investigation. Wow, who knew? Based on California Public Records Act request, showed the city's payroll was bloated with all sorts of six-figure salaries. Now, when I looked into it, the predominantly the people involved, even the city manager stuff, they were Republicans. That's why the newspaper went after them. Not that I care. It wouldn't have mattered one way or the other. But if these had been all Democrats, do you think the Los Angeles Times, that socialist rag, that commie rag, the Los Angeles Times would have gone after him? Chief Administrative Officer Robert Rizzo made $787,637 a year for a city of 40,000, getting a series of raises since being hired in 1993. He was hired at $72,000 in 1993. President Obama only makes $400,000, supposedly. So that's the one thing they like to gauge it by. You got a city manager of $40,000 getting almost twice what the president is actually given for pay. Now, the assistant city manager, Angela Spacia, that's S-P-A-C-C-I-A, Spacia, however you want to pronounce it, made $376,288 a year. Now, police chief Randy Adams earned $457,000. A police chief getting nearly $500,000. And you bet with his perks and everything else, he was making well over $500,000. You know, they gave him his nice little Tahoe or whatever, you know, rapid deployment vehicle. He probably had his own armored car. Hired just last year to oversee a police force of, get this, 50 people. He was making 50% more than Los Angeles City Police Chief Charlie Beck's $307,000. Now, I was in charge of 44 people as a bail enforcement officer, investigator, all that. I made $28 an hour. This guy was in charge just a little more than that, and he made $500,000. I mean,
an hour.
And $500,000 an hour. I wouldn't even want to break it down to the hour. I would be so offended. Everything okay? Everything would be offensive. Now, police, Randy, oh, excuse me, his name is Randy Adams, for those of you that are keeping score at home. All three Bell officials resigned after a late-night meeting Thursday. Now, they had contracts, folks, so don't think for a minute that they didn't get a certain amount of going out the door pay. If they had contracts, they probably said, go ahead, if I resign, I better get something. Now, to the residents of Bell, we apologize, said Mayor Oscar Hernandez. Now, Hernandez and the council members may be next. By law, the council could have had to approve the contracts in an open session, but several residents complained that officials are loath to explain what they are doing and quick to race through matters at public meetings with little discussion. The Times said Hernandez, Vice Mayor and Councilwoman Teresa Jacobo, and Councilman Jorge Maribel and Luis Artiga are paid $8,000 a year plus about $8,000 a month for boards and commissions they sit on. The other council members, Lorenzo Velez, said he is only paid the base $8,000. Can you imagine a part-time job where you make $8,000 a month and all you do is go to meetings once or twice a month? And then what they do is they put you on boards. That's the big secret here in California. This republic, as it's supposed to be, the Republic of California, they have boards. And that's how they do nepotism here. You say, oh, well, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger's now governor, so he puts an old friend on the prison board. And they'll make $75,000 to $100,000 a year, and they only meet four or five times a year. The water board here in California, same thing. It's a big scam. And it's going on in every state. The money may be bigger here than it is in some states, but when you compare it to what the people in the, you know, what the rabble are making in their little huts, it's just as insulting. Okay, now earlier this week, both Hernandez and Artiga said they deserve their salaries, so at least $16,000 a month for a part-time job, adding that in addition to council meetings twice a month, they are constantly on call for city businesses. That would be obscene to think we're getting paid for only two meetings a month, Artiga said. But that's only half the story. Okay, so you're being paid $16,000 a month for 4 days a month? She said it's only half. The residents group is demanding the big salaries be cut by 90% and that the officials resign. I agree with that. If they don't resign, Sala said, his group will initiate a recall. He gave the council until Monday's meeting to respond. In the meantime, organizers plan to paper Bell with 12,000 flyers over the weekend, urging people to attend the meeting. Now, I love this. This is enraged villager mentality. Now, if they could just keep this up with everything that's going wrong in their community, I would love that. I mean, this is a peak thing because they're hurting, they're losing jobs, they're being put into the streets, they can't pay their rent. They're looking at their kids and saying, I'm sorry, that's all the food there is in the cupboard today. And you got council members making $16,000 a month base. They get $8,000 base, and then up, and then additional $8,000 a month for what boards and commissions they may sit on. So who knows? What if they sit on 15 boards? Now, city officials have declined to respond to this recall threat. A message left on City Hall's public information line was not returned, nor were messages left for Hernandez at the grocery store he owns or on Artiga's cell phone. Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office, and the State Attorney General are looking into the salaries. Oh, great. They're going to get Moonbeam Brown down there to investigate one of his own cronies. Artiga said earlier this week that while some employees may be overpaid, no one, at least so far, has accused officials of stealing money or shaking down contractors. Why would you have to steal money or shake down contractors when you've got this sweet, sweet deal? You know, the other city councils where they're only paid $2,000 a month or whatever, those are the ones that are shaking them down. But it's still theft. What does the Bible say about someone's work? You should be paid equal to the value of your work. And this is not it. Now they're pointing to the fact, now here's the nut at the end. $22.7 million surplus in their budget. We have well-kept parks, clean streets, a community center for people of all ages. So we don't understand why the people are complaining. What? So it's okay to be overpaid if you have excess money. So how much more money would they have had if they weren't paying their police chief $500,000? They weren't paying their city manager $750,000 a year. Still, the salary scandal has left residents suspicious. I think they're a bunch of crooks, says Marcias, as he left City Hall after picking up a permit to install a water heater. You need a permit to install a water heater, too. Don't you love that? They should all be investigated by the feds. Yeah, I don't agree with that. That's like saying, hey, the fox is killing my chickens. Can we get some wolves in here to see that he doesn't do that anymore? That just shows the mentality of the sheep, right? They should all be investigated by the feds. I love that last line. Guys, go. This last line, I think they're a bunch of crooks, said Marcius as he left City Hall after picking up a permit to install a water heater. Now, I installed a water heater up here the other day. Should I got a permit for that? Was I supposed to get a permit for that? Yeah. See, this falls in well with what I was talking about the first hour. For those of you, there's something in my shoe that's like bugging the heck out of me, a piece of thread.
Look in your shoe.
Yeah, I think it's out there. There it is. Local government is the place to act, folks. These people had an effect. They got their city manager, they got their police chief, their assistant city manager to resign. Now they got to work on those city council members and mayor. That is a victory that I can say, yeah, the people finally did it. Now the sheep may go back to bed tomorrow and say, okay, that's great. And then they'll slowly crank up their same old fees. And say, hey, Rabbit's in the room. Welcome, Rabbit. I see Rabbit in the chat room there. I'm glad you're tuning in. These kind of things are all over America. And I encourage you, you need to go down to your city hall and say, what do I need to do to request a list of who gets paid what around here? Who do I need to look at? Because, you know, here, the reason I talked about the Rep Rangel issue before in the first hour is to show you that there's really nothing we can do about that. No matter what we say or do, no matter how pissed we get about what Rangel did and all the money he stole and gave away to his cronies, nothing we do is going to make justice prevail in that. However, on your city level, your county level maybe, your town level, you can do it. You can do it. And I encourage you to be like these people. Get involved with local government. Go down there. We've got a very small town. There's maybe 6,000 people in the community here with the two communities of Cahuilla and Three Rivers. But you know something? When they see us at the city council meetings or town hall meetings, because we don't have a council, town hall meetings, because what they do is they send in county reps because we're unincorporated. And we need to be there because there's always some idiot that wants to incorporate and become a, you know, we're like, no, we don't want to do it. But they'll just come in and just spew tyranny all over these people, and they sit there and smile. Mm-hmm. And yet we're the ones standing up going, hey, wait a minute, how do we know that's even a law? Yeah. We've actually had them present laws in our community over, oh, if you live on the river, you have to allow access to it by all the hippies and illegal aliens that come up here. They have to be allowed to get through your fences and sit in your backyard and use the river. And finally, the pastor stood up and said, well, how do we know that's even a law? How do we know that's even a law? And a couple of people went, yeah, how do we know that's a law? Somebody says, well, maybe we should Google it. Oh, grow up. And it was funny because the county council, this nice little Asian lady, I don't know if it's a law, really. I'll have to check. And never got back to us. We'll be back after the break. This is Dutch Jones coming to you from you broadcast over, who are we on? Indiana Free Radio, Indiana Freedom Radio. I'm sorry if I get it wrong, but I'm terrible with names. I should have wrote it down, but I appreciate you making the effort to get us on. Everybody, Spike called. So we are now on strange venues, but everybody can hear us. That's all we care about. We'll be back after the break.
Since our eyes were first opened and our ears began to hear, they've been herding us like cattle through our fantasies and fears. They move us through illusion and confusion of the mind, and by changing subtle meanings to the words between the lines. It's the news behind the news and the methods you can use. It's a blueprint and the plan they all rely on. And it's written in the protocols, learned elders of Zion. They'll tell you it's a forgery, they'll tell you it's a fake, that some anti-Semite wrote it for the money that he'd make. It's been slanderized and demonized and labeled racist hate by the same who staked a claim to its creation. Now I'm not here to try to argue if it's false or if it's true, if the author was a commie or the likes of you know who. What I'm really trying to tell you and to get across to you is it's a blueprint to the downfall of our nation. There's a cause to the chaos that's occurring in the land. There's a road to communism, there's a global master plan. You'll never read about it in a book of history, cause it's been hidden from the masses to control their destiny. It's the news behind the news. And
and the methods that they use. It's the blueprint and the plan they all rely on. And it's written in the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. It's the global master plan. You'll never read about it in a book of history, 'cause it's been hidden from the masses to control our destiny. It's the news behind the news and the methods that they use. It's the blueprint and the plan they all rely on. And it's written in the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. And it's written in the protocols of the learned elders of Zion.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. In the best conditions, the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival escape routes and plans and putting together your bug-out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You will save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family, get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
Government.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points, bum. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
New world
order. Attention. Government is the problem.
Repeat, an emergency! I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody!
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Shut back down and shut your trap! It's time for
Bats, Jehu's, Bats, Jehu's
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
You got nothing funny to play. I think you always do funny stuff. Why do you... It's like an on-again, off-again romance with you and the funny. Why won't you play funny stuff anymore? Are you afraid? Yeah, are you like all sad that Liberty Tree Radio's down and you just don't want to give it your all? Come on, man. We got people listening. We got all kinds of people listening. We got all kinds of folks that are listening.
I was saying, I wouldn't worry nearly as much about the atom bomb if it were to kill you right out. What scares me is that awful gas that deforms you.
Yeah. That would be bad.
Yeah.
Speaking of the gas, the folks who sent me the emails, your gas masks were shipped from the vendor, so you should have them Tuesday or Wednesday. The compasses came in, and so we'll be shipping those out tomorrow. Those of you that ordered the orienteering compasses with mirror, we received them today, actually. It was really nice. Verpy, our former postmistress, who's trying to help them out now that our post office has been kind of hobbled by the federal government, she drove them all the way up to me. She came up here and gave me my mail. I was like, thank you so much. So we got our compasses in, and we're going to send those out. Those are great little compasses. Lou was trying to play with them, I think. Did you check them out? Did you find your way around the house? Okay. Do you use a signal mirror? Let's see here. I got to answer this. We are the Dutch Jones Radio Show, and we are coming to you live from the Church of Kaweah. And for those of you that are local... and part of our little collective that we either have the militia side or the emergency response families. We are having our training tomorrow. It's still going. I talked to the person that's coming and doing the class. Everything is a go. In fact, he's probably going to come up here tonight and stay the night. We're setting up right after we get out of here. We're going to set up the slaughter field. We're going to be doing it in the park. Party in the playground tomorrow at 8 a.m. I'm totally ripping off on the intelligence report with that. I love that. Whenever he does that, we all just kind of stop and stare at the radio and go, what is it? What is it? What comes next? You know, the chair is against the wall? You know, is it time for us to go? And, you know, and then we run and we dig up all our weapons and report to our person. You know what I'm talking about. But tomorrow we're having our survival training class on butchering of wild and domestic animals. I don't think we're going to do the cow tomorrow, are we? No, he's not ready yet. Okay, so we're going to be doing... The biggest thing we're going to be doing is turkeys. Is it a wild turkey or domestic turkey? Is it white or black?
White.
That's a domestic turkey. Yeah, I know I'm racist. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I want to dice up them black turkeys. They've been bugging me and stealing my cow stereo. No. The white turkey actually needs to die. The white turkey's the gigantic fat one that can't even walk anymore. Ooh, he's going to be plump. It's going to be a plump turkey. We're going to have rabbits, chickens, any ducks?
Doves,
yeah. Quail.
The doves are up to you.
Yeah. So, but we're going to have our... We only have one good butcher, and it is just too much pressure to put on him. This guy's amazing. I went through his little class last year, and I'm going to try and get him to slow down. I'm going to give him some Valium tonight when he's not looking, because he's just too fast. And we're going to make sure that he slows down. And we're going to prepare these animals and wear something. You don't mind if you get blood on it. Bring a change of clothes. You can use the research center to change clothes in or my place or whatever. We don't want you going to the church covered in animal blood. It just seems wrong to go into the church. It's going to be like people...
Yeah.
So, you know, right when we're doing this, we're going to be in the park butchering these animals. And some idiot leftist is going to drive up and say we're doing sacrifices. Watch. So we're going to need a security contingent to shut down the... We're going to have some people to flag down some cars if, you know, if they try and come in.
You have a digital camera at the time.
Yeah, yeah, they'll be videotaping us, you know, chickens and stuff. They're like, oh, look, there are a bunch of Old Testament pagans up there. You know, so yeah, we don't want to bring blood into the house of the Lord. You don't want to be caught driving home covered in blood, so you might want to bring a change of clothes. Rabbit asked me, hey, that's got to be kind of creepy for you, Rabbit, being that's your call sign and we're butchering rabbits.
Is he still there?
Yeah, he's talking to me right now. Asked what you should bring. Bring some knives. If you've got knives that you think are good enough to butcher, we'll try them out. I gotta go prepare my hatchet and stuff for the head removal device. Then the rusty machete. I always use a rusty machete. So if you've got some knives that you want to test out that you think, you know, I know all these people went out and bought skinning kits and all this stuff, but they've never tested them. They cut paper with them and go, ooh, look at me. So let's see how they work on bones and all that kind of stuff. Bring shears if you have them. You know what I'm talking about, the EMT type shears, the good ones. Those are great for cutting legs off chickens, cutting heads off rabbits. I've used them for that. All kinds of stuff. And I don't know how many rabbits we're going to do, but I've already promised my daughter, who's not going to be here till Monday. Pray for my battle. And if nobody wants the hides, I'd like to get at least one so I can tan it. And she wants to bring it to school up in Napa, California, right where all the liberals live and go, look, my daddy butchered a rabbit and gave me this hide. You know, I told her I'd make some kind of hat out of it or something for her. And I could hear her mom, who was listening on, you know, right there, cringing. So it'll be good. It'll be very good. So that's what we're doing tomorrow. We've had a request for some CPR and first aid type training. We need to have somebody step up to do that. I'm not doing every single training, just like I'm not doing the butcher training. I'll do all the, you know, response to a disaster. And next month, the third weekend in August, just so you guys know, that we'll have another party in the playground, and it's going to be on response to a terrorist incident. Or actually, I'm going to change the name to response to a mass casualty incident, because it may not be terrorism. It may be a natural event. It may be man-made. But response to a mass casualty incident and what you need to do as a rescuer. And it's going to be the same abridged course that I gave to public safety people when I was working for FEMA. That's right. Those of you that are new listening, I used to be a FEMA emergency services officer. And when they found out I was in a militia, they unfunded my position and kicked me out because I was raising my hand too much saying, hey, wait, isn't that unconstitutional? What do you mean forced inoculation, sir? We can't do that. That's unconstitutional. And they're, who is this guy? Who's this DJ guy? I'm not going to give you my real name. Dutch Jones is not my real name, as I keep reminding you. But that's what we're doing. And since we're new onto another reach of outlets, I want to read this again. I'm getting requests to read it again. I guess people want to write it down. I promise you, Lou will put it up in the forum. We may change a few of the things. This is the Redneck Ten Commandments. I just got another request on the pop-up. Redneck Ten Commandments. Just one God, number one. Honor your ma and pa. No telling tales or gossiping about anybody. Get yourself to Sunday meeting. Put nothing before God. Now, where was the one about the idols? Did we come up with one for idols? No whittling up, no gods was when we came. It wasn't on here for some reason. No fooling around with another fella's gal. No killing anybody who don't need killing. Watch your mouth. That would be don't use the Lord's name in vain. You know, don't be saying nothing bad about God. Don't take what ain't yours. Don't steal. Don't be hankering for your buddy's stuff. I guess that would include his lady, too, or his girl. So I like that. We're going to have to put that up on the website, and we thank Debbie for bringing that. Now, where did you get this?
Vacation Bible School, the week before last.
This is something recent they got handed out at the Vacation Bible School?
Wow.
That new pastor over there is doing a lot of good stuff. This is a Baptist church that is here in town, and I go over there every once in a while. My daughter's been over there, and our pastor spoke with their pastor, and you know, he's not bad. The other churches in town are scared to death of us for some reason. Could be the gunfire after church on Sundays. No, I'm kidding. We don't shoot after church on Sundays. We limit that to give our neighbors a rest. But yeah, that's what's going on. So I wanted to share that with you. People are asking to read it again since somebody else may not have heard it. Dun, dun, dun. City outraged by officials. Yeah, that was just amazing to me. And those of you that were wondering, the coroner came out with this report about the Minkler shooting, and that actually did make national news. We had an individual in a little town of Minkler up here in Fresno County, and he had been having a lot of problems with local authorities, things to do with his barn, lots of fees, lots of things. He was rumored to be a patriot. I don't know if that's true or not. They sent three cops to come issue a warrant for his arrest for arson on a mobile home, and they all went in the door together at the same time, and he killed two of them and wounded the third. They shot, and it turns out that he was wounded, and he later killed himself, is what the coroner is saying now. But the response that came into this Minkler shootout, hundreds of police officers, armored cars, and they riddled the motor home, mobile home, with bullets. But the autopsy just came out today, and they're saying he was shot three to four. I think it was. I have to look at it here. I shouldn't be giving ifs. But he was wounded in his arm, probably because he probably stuck. If I know what he did, he probably stuck the gun around a corner and just fired at the fatal funnel, which is a narrow door. So he took rounds in the arm. And his wife jumped out the back window and was later, she was released, she wasn't arrested. But what they said he was doing, and I've not been able to verify this, I went out, I spoke with people from the area. They said he was taking pot shots at the grocery store 2 days before. He shot one of his neighbors across the back. He supposedly stabbed his mom. But they're not talking about any of that now. You know, so they're saying he was like this danger and everything, and they had to send out, they sent out a fire marshal, a town cop, and a deputy sheriff. And it was the deputy sheriff and the town cop that got killed. And, of course, the fire marshal, because they accused him of some arson on his own property. I don't know how you can commit arson on your own property. Fresno County officials have revealed for the first time Friday that the man authorities say killed two law enforcement officers and wounded another in Minkler was also wounded in the gunfight. Now, the coroner's office said Ricky Lyles, that's L-I-L-E-S, for those of you who want to look up the history on this, was shot three times in his right forearm before he took his own life in February during the standoff. Authorities say Lyles opened fire on Fresno County Sheriff's deputies who had come to his mobile home. That's not true. What's that town over there? Reedley City Police officer, one deputy sheriff. And in fact, they're saying, later on in the story, they correct it. They went to his mobile home on the 25th of February to serve a search warrant. See, when they originally reported it, it was saying they were serving an arrest warrant for arson. Why would they have to do it? What were they looking for? Lyles had apparently vowed not to go to prison and to take the lives of several officers before killing him. Sheriff Deputy Joel Wallenmeyer and Reedley Police Officer Javier Baher died in the attack. Deputy Mark Harris was wounded. See? Now it's two deputies. When it happened live, they said one was a fire marshal and you could see the fire car out in the front yard. See how the story's changed? And people who live in that town that I called, and other patriots that live in the area, they said, no, he wasn't really associated with the Patriots. He was kind of a lone wolf type. Once again, see the downside of being a lone wolf? And I don't know why he stayed in the house, because it took about 30 minutes for the response, but it was intense. It was intense. They shut down the town. Nobody could get in or out for hours until they, you know, made sure that this dude was dead. They riddled that trailer with bullets. And that's what happened. So that's the final word on it. We probably won't hear about it ever again. It's just, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 very vague paragraphs. And that is the transcript of the video news report. I don't play the video audio stuff because we just don't have the bandwidth here to be on the air and do it. So it's sad, but that's how it ends. We'll never know the truth in that, why they were really arresting him. Why did it go from an arson arrest warrant to a search warrant in the media? Which is it? Why did it go from one deputy, one city cop, and a fire marshal to two sheriff's deputies? Was the sheriff deputy dressed up as a fire marshal? Everything okay?
Yeah.
You took care of it?
Yeah.
Cool. Did they say when?
July 29th.
Woohoo!
They got to confirm it too. They say between 24 to 48 hours.
For our DSL.
Yeah. For the confirming.
Okay, meaning doing your background check and
yeah,
all that.
And all that.
Well, who cares about that? We know,
credit
you know.
Check.
Well, the name that we set you up with is clean, right? Your fake name that you get. You gave him the fake name, right? And the fake social security number?
No.
What were you thinking, woman?
I can't do that. It's all in my name.
Yeah, it's all in the wife's name. So good, good.
Yeah, because they wanted your social security number. I'm like, oh, no, I need everything. It's going all in my name.
Did you tell him I don't exist? I loved it when I told the guy today on the phone. He goes, well, I need your social security number to do this. I said, I don't have a social security number. Well, I need your driver's license number. I don't have a driver's license. He goes, what do you mean? I said, have you heard of living off the grid? The guy goes, no. And I go, well, I'm that. And I go, my mother got the Social Security card, not me, so it's not mine anyway. And I rendered it, turned it back in. And in fact, I didn't even get into the fact that I haven't paid taxes in 6 years. And they still haven't come after me. I keep sending them letters saying, no thanks, I don't take part in your system. But, yeah, I'm one of those guys. But I don't do it the way you think I do it. I don't generate a lot of paperwork. I just use their own laws against them and just say, no, any agreement made between you and my mother does not fit me, and I don't want a Social Security number. And they're like, huh? I actually walked into the office. It was pretty funny. But anyway, we'll see more of those types of stories. We're getting ready for tomorrow for the training. We have the training next month. Of course, the conference. The flyer's not that informative right now. It tells you who we're going to have: Chuck Baldwin, Peter Hammond, John Weaver, the three pastors, and then our host pastor, of course, is Pastor Warren Mark Campbell, who's given a sermon. And the topic is the theme of it rather is, you know, that Jesus Christ has authority over all, you know, heaven and earth. You know, like we talk about pressing the full crown rights of Jesus Christ. But the topic is going to be the Islamic threat in America, the real Islamic threat in America. We're not going to talk about, you know, 9/11 was an inside job or any of that garbage. We're going to have a person who's Pastor Peter Hammond, who's seen what Islam has done to Africa, who he is fighting over there with the militias. He is a firebrand pastor and missionary, and he's going to give us firsthand what the warning signs were and where we are on our scale as we wind down into occupation by the Muslims. And you can scream all you want, oh, it's not really them, it's all fake and all that, but they are, you know, still a tool of the devil, and we need to deal with it. Hello, who do we have?
Hey, Romano, you're watching You Broadcast, and I'm a little drunk.
Who's that? Hello? I just heard the You Broadcast in the back. Did we just go off the air?
No.
Who's
that?
Who are you? Who's calling?
Yes.
Okay, who's there?
Welcome to conferencecall.com.
Who's calling?
For your free conference call.
Oh, this is funny. Okay, who is this? That sounded a little bit like Ed.
I guess you're back up now.
Yeah, we have been back up. We never went down. Not from our end. Okay.
Up now.
Okay, yeah, we're back up. And there was getting too much feedback there. I had to disconnect the phone line. So we never disengaged. If it was disengaged, it was your end, which is rare because usually it's on our end. Lou's right there. He's got his beady little eyes on it, and he has not disconnected from the line. So we're doing good. Yeah, still on the air. Thanks, Holy Ma. Our official archivist of the show has not lost a beat, so we know we're still streaming. I almost stepped on something there. In the next few... Okay, you got to turn down the radio in the background or you can't hear me. Hello?
Okay. Hello?
Yes, go ahead. Okay, the phones are messing up again. They're not letting the people hear us. I'm just going to keep it turned down. We've only got a couple more minutes. We are streaming. We know we're on the air. We apologize for any listening loss you may have experienced, but if you check back in, anything you lost will be archived and will be repeated. Okay. Hello? See, I don't know what the purpose of this is. Why do you keep calling if you can't hear me? It's not going to work. That's the definition of insanity right there. If you keep calling, hoping it'll go through, and it keeps looping in the background. But I think you turned... I don't hear it in the background anymore. Do you hear me talking about you? Who are you, and why are you calling me? How'd you get this number? I told you never to call here. Are you there? Hello?
Hello? Who is it?
Hello?
Hello?
Okay, who's this?
Is this the Dutch John Show?
Yes, it is. Who's this?
This is Spike Tennant Show, man.
Hey, Spike. Good to hear from you. What's up? Somebody keeps calling and we can't hear them.
Oh, that was David who was trying to call in, but the stream from You Broadcast was buffering.
Yeah, we're not having...
And it's there.
We're not having...
Came back up. That's what he was trying to say.
That's weird. Nobody here... anybody in the room, tell us if you're having problems. Let us know. It could just be his connection there or something weird.
Yeah, it could have been just my connection, but you guys are back up on Indiana Freedom Talk Radio.
Indiana Freedom Talk Radio. Thank you. Indiana... What? Now, are you a micro-broadcaster there?
Yeah, I rebroadcast the Liberty Tree Radio stream most of the time. Sometimes at night I'll throw on something that I want to play for people that are staying up late.
Now, do me a favor. Will you tell people how hard that was to do? Because nobody seems to want to do that when I push them to. They're like, oh, it's too hard. I can't set up a radio station.
It's not that hard at all, as long as you have somebody to tell you, you know, what buttons to push and what settings to put where.
Yeah,
I'm
going
to show David how to do it. And eventually what I'd like to do is get a few people together on Skype with somebody that can actually has a good enough computer to host a four- or five-person room and just go through it with them.
That would be
good. Get four or five people going at the same time.
Now, are you able to build your own kits, or do you buy them whole and just plug them in?
Yeah. I can build my own computers from bottom up.
Okay, what about the transmitter?
Well, what I just use is my computer, and I use the SAM broadcasting program.
Okay, and then are you on FM, though, too?
Nope.
Oh, okay, I thought you were on FM,
strictly
too.
On the Internet, Ustream. Well, that's Internet,
yeah.
too.
Well, you're doing exactly what we're doing, because we've got SAM broadcaster, not here on this, but in the other room where we're going, we got FM about 260 watts. And
that's good.
We need to we want an AM transmitter and an FM transmitter, because we need a backup transmitter. But we want to start doing AM, because we want to do just music on FM and then all talk, all Liberty Tree Radio, all Patriot Talk on AM. And we're looking for somebody we need somebody to put the kits together for us. I got a great guy, but it takes him 6 months to get back to us. And it's just...
Oh, man.
Yeah, I drop it off at his shop, and he's just too busy. And so, I don't know. And we're willing to pay somebody to build the kit. So if you know anybody that's got that skill that's a patriot and needs to make a few dollars, we would order the kits probably from Ramsey and then have them sent, because we've got amplifiers. Okay,
that'd
see
be cool.
You. So that's what we want to do. But people, the streaming thing, let's talk about that. There's so many places that you can stream for, like, right now we're on UBroadcast. We can reach, I think it's 500 people max, and we're paying $17.50 a month.
That's not bad.
Yeah, so...
We haven't reached a limit on Ustream yet, so we don't know what it is.
Right,
that's why I direct... my server will only hold 25 people.
Right.
Running through my bandwidth here and my computer. If I had a better computer, I could hold more. But because I've got the bandwidth, that's not the problem. It's the actual processor just runs so high.
Right.
That it bogs down everything else. Plus, I'm broadcasting a live video stream and recording and all that other stuff at
the
same time, so it taxes my computer heavily.
Yeah, we're on satellite. Even if we had the computers, we don't have the bandwidth. But Stacy just ordered, because we moved across the street. Believe it or not, that's the difference. Across the street, where they have good enough cables and wires to do DSL, she just ordered it. So we don't know when we're going to get the modem and stuff and have it activated. But we'll move all this gear to another location, and we will have DSL, and we'll do 24 hours.
You know? That'd be great for you guys.
Yeah, you know, we'll take all the Liberty Tree Radio stuff we like, stuff we find, you know, McLam, whatever, and we'll just redo it 24 hours a day and just poke in and do the live show once in a while and try and encourage others to do it. You know?
Yep, as long as you've got somebody there that can do it at night, you're all set.
Yeah, well, we use...
It's up and running.
Yeah, that's true if it goes off. I'm sure Lou could do some kind of alarm system. Well, that's the music, but it was good to talk to you again, Spike.
Hey, no problem, man. I'm going to go down and bring you guys down.
Okay.
Glad I could help you out. And,
yes.
You all have a good night, and you have fun out there in California, don't it?
Yeah, we'll do our best. You too. Stay safe.
All righty, man.
Good night.
Take care.
Good night, brother.
God bless.
You too. That's Spike Timmons. If you don't know him, you should. Listen to his show. I got to hang up. Down the sidewalk. We'll be back on Monday. Remember, the music that's playing is playing for a reason. We believe in no king but King Jesus. The sword is heavy and the battle is hard. The show may not always be as informative as you like, but we try to at least build fellowship and networking, right? The victory belongs to the Lord. God bless you all and all you do in the holy cause of liberty. We'll be back Monday, but until then, you get to listen to this repeat over and over and over and over again on UBroadcast.com. Forever! Check us out on Facebook. We'll be back Monday.